Well, good morning, everybody. Well, those are some nice words that you said about me there, Brad. But the truth of the matter is that's really not the case. Okay, I mean, the truth of the matter here in the midst of it is like, dude, I wanted to get my pool done and get that started. It was my day off. Brad wanted to come over and talk. I told him to follow me while I get my thing done. But the Lord in His grace and His mercy for you, Brad, is that it started raining really bad. So I stopped.
I didn't know that.
I stopped because I was going to continue on cleaning up my pool. Don't make me some guy I ain't, okay? That ain't the truth. It ain't the truth. So it started raining. So I stopped. And I said, damn. I really want to get the pool done, but it's raining.
I kind of liked it better before I knew it.
Don't care. This pretense of we're one way when we're not, we just need to hang that up. Yeah, that's a bunch of nonsense, really. So it started raining, and I talked to Brad, and I talked to Brad, and I talked to Brad. And of course, when I talked to Brad, I mean, there's could be a list of stuff that I talked to Brad about. Because it's just like, oh, where do I start? Lord, help me out here with this. Where do I start? And I start talking to Brad, and I don't know. We were up there about an hour and a half, and then the thing that happened was it stopped raining when we were done. He walked out, and guess what? It wasn't raining anymore. And I was able to get back on the pool again. All right, so praise God. To me, I'm like, woohoo, okay, I must have needed to stop, shut up, and give him my full attention, not halfway focusing on what I want to do and halfway focusing on what was before me at the time. But there's also another correction here. And I want to really highlight this. Is that whether you're a master or you're, you know, whoever you're serving, you're clocked in, they're buying your time from them. Whether they're a believer or non-believer, what you do is you serve. You don't serve them better because they're a believer. No, you serve them as unto the Lord because that's what the Lord says. And that the word, and that His way not, I forget how is it put, that you don't take His name in vain in that sense. Now you just serve Him. Christian, believer, wrapped too tight, not wrapped too tight, doesn't matter, they're buying your time. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. Now, the thing that you're going to be all right in your service unto the Lord, man, once again, what saves you? What is the thing that will save you? What is your salvation based on? Jesus Christ and what He did. You got to get it out of your head that it's going to be of anything of your merit or your service or any of those things that is going to save you. It's not. It will not. It's only because of what Jesus Christ did and the sufficiency of His blood on that cross to cover you. That's it. And if you're basing it on any other thing, you are in the wrong place, folks. You're in the wrong place. Because it's all about what He has done. And you just rely solely on it. And what I mean rely solely on it, your dear life counts on it. Your very salvation counts on what the Lord has done for you, in the sense of laying down His life. And do you believe Him? Do you actually believe it? Believe Him for that? Are you trying to make yourself righteous? Are you trying by your serving Him, make it right up unto Him? You can't do that. This is a gift. It's called a free gift. Not of works, lest we boast. It is a free gift. Amen. Thank you. It's something we can't pay back, folks. So what do? We receive it with thanksgiving, jump for joy, and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. that's what we do. And we go, anybody else want salvation? Yeah, I do. Okay. Jesus is the way, and his way is the only way. And you introduce the people to him. That's what you do. You know, I was thinking this morning, and I was looking at some of the scriptures, and, you know, one of the things is that you ever been to those, you know, mega churches, and they're beautiful, man. I mean, the building, let me put it that way, they are beautiful, right? I mean, you got the big steeple, you got all kinds of stuff in there. Sometimes you got a gym. Sometimes you got a school in it. Sometimes, I mean, it is just immaculate sometimes. I mean, it looks like, you know, buildings, millions of dollars for all these things to go into it. And, you know, I have been to a few of those. I remember my mom trying to get me to go to these things. And I knew one thing. I didn't fit into that place at all. Quite frankly, I didn't fit in a lot of places. I was really kind of, I did fit in. No, that is not true. With the drug addicts and the partiers and those things, man, I fit right in with those guys, I have to say. They accepted me with no judgment at all, man. I love those guys. And quite frankly, if, you know, some of the Christians out there, are so-called Christians, would actually pick up on some of the good things of just absolute no judgment and accept them as they are as they come in here, man, it would probably be a lot better place, really. But I look at was looking at it, and you know the one person who told me about Jesus Christ and really to the place where I understood the love of the Lord and had shown me that love of the Lord to me. There was one person, and I tell you what, he was not in a $1 million home, and he was not in a $1 million church, and he was not, no, it was kind of just a small, old country home that probably needed some work on it. I don't know, wasn't paying attention to it. But he was there willing to share with me the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not just share with me the gospel of Jesus Christ, but show me the love. A whole family. A whole family. And that was, I remember, it was Davey, Ann, and Cheryl. And I was about 17 years old, and they would take me in. I'd have a hard time at home, start getting frustrated. Ann would call up and say, "Hey, Phil, do you want to come and stay with me for a bit?" "Yes." You know, because, you know, if I didn't, I was going to go off and do something stupid, which I really was apt to do. And what would happen is they'd love me, I'd have a great time, get back centered, send me back home again. Things get out of whack, go back over there again, get filled up with that love of Christ, and then go back again. It was back and forth. I mean, they ministered to me greatly. And Ann would travel. I mean, gosh, she'd travel, you know, 45 minutes away to come pick me up. She was willing. And it was like, man, it was not a dysfunctional family, which was something that I have not really experienced at that time of age, was a non-dysfunctional family. This is amazing. This is for real? This is like, this happens here in America? Because I did not know. All right, I had no idea that this was the case. And what happened was, is when I would leave and go do my own thing, because I'm a rebellious prick. Okay, I'd leave, go do my thing and party and all these kinds of things, and I'd get absolutely run down. Absolutely run down, folks. I mean, run down. Almost died a couple times. It was some pretty terrible, scary times I can remember. And it was all my fault, quite frankly. You know, I walked out of the Lord and I was free reign for the enemy to have fun. And also, I could blame that all on the enemy, but also I made really stupid decisions that put me in some very dangerous places and situations, quite frankly. I could sit here and say it was all the enemy, but that's just a lie. I was just an idiot on some of those fronts, all right? And so what happened was that I remember being run down at times, you know, hungover or end of a drug binge or some of these things. And I remember the safe place. I remember there was like no safe place for me to go. And I remember not being scared, very, very scared. And one of the things that would always be right there that I remember that the absolute most safe place that I've ever had been at, that it was consumed, was right there where Davey, Ann, and Cheryl would have me over. And I just remember it being a safe, safe place. Now, I share this with you, and I want to go ahead and go to Luke. I think Luke 11. Luke 11:39, it says, "And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees, make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening. Inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. You fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over the judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Now I share this with you because, look, it is, don't get into that cycle of your service or your tithe or any of these things are going to be the thing that saves you. It is not even going to be the anything that ministers to anybody else. It is the love of Christ that's going to be the thing that ministers unto others. It's not going to be because this property is all fixed up and looks pretty now and all these things, or our chapel has a white coat of paint on it. It's not going to be anything that's going to bring people here, or the Lord will even lead people here. It's going to be the love of Christ that does it. That's what it's going to be done. They will know you're my disciples by your what? Love for one another. Your love for one another. Now, I can tell you, as I don't know if I had, it was a tough week for me this week. And I do have to say, I've had to, you know, kind of go through some steps and motions and all these things. And I tell you, there's some tribulation, trialing times for me. Now, it's really quite pathetic when I look at it, as far as compared to other trialing times, just in the scriptures and these kinds of things. And really, some of that trialing was just seeing how pathetic I was and how it was like a mirror unto mine own heart. A mirror unto mine own heart, where I absolutely seen that the love of Christ was not within me. And when these trialing times that happen, see, man, we can have this great imagination or this self-esteem of ourselves or this self-image of ourselves of just, man, we're a loving man, we're a loving group and all these things. I tell you what, these trialing times can really shatter those things, and it could bring about the truth of really who you are and what you are about. Now, I tell you, these things are absolutely necessary. Absolutely necessary. Joy, right? But it's absolutely necessary. Now, what is amazing to me? What is absolutely amazing to me is, yet I seen a glimpse of my own heart and seen how ugly it is, and just, and I'm amazed that this is not a newsflash to the Lord. He already knew I was this way. Okay, he knew I was this way, and yet still put me in the head of this ministry. It just appalls me. And the other thing that is amazing to me, and that's so amazing about the Lord, is that in the midst of it, because all my concern and care when the trialing thing happened was I cared about uno numero number one, that was me. And that was a freaking flashcard in my face. I do have to say, just as I was telling you, what I was concerned when you came up and talked was not the nice, I want to be a brother to Brad and all these things. No, I wanted to get my freaking pool done, man. I had one more day off of work, enjoyed the day off of Gail the day before, but man, that's what I wanted to do. Lord said, nope, rain comes down. You, if you receive something out of it, then praise God. I'm amazed that you did. But if you did, what marvels at me, what shows me is that yet the Lord and His grace and how awesome He is reigned in all these situations. Absolutely reigned in these situations. See, that's what's amazing to me. That's where I sit back and say, you are an awesome God. And yet going down, even going down and getting the car, I tell you what, man, that was all about making sure my freaking car got taken care of. But what did the Lord do? What the Lord do in His might and His grace and His love, yet use that trip to yet minister unto others in the midst of it. We had a great time, and all I could do is walk away absolutely humbled. Absolutely humbled about the whole thing. That yet I am such a selfish dirtbag, but yet He still manages in me in that state to yet minister unto somebody else. That is amazing, folks. That is amazing. Now, I share these things with you. Now, y'all probably, I don't know how some of you feel about this thing. Some of you might be gasping like, oh, he's this way. Well, it's the truth. It's the truth. And I know that, hey, the only place I can turn to get shed of that is what? Go to Psalm 51. Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. My only hope is You, Lord. I can't create a clean heart within myself. And you know David couldn't create a clean heart within himself. Why do you think he was going to the Lord? I mean, you can look at David, man. He messed up, made some bad choices. But one thing, David has a shining example. But David did some really standing up and some boldness and faith, I have to tell you, man. It's like, man, I look at David, I'm like, man, I want to be like David. It's like, oh, really? Do you want to go through the same things as that? Well, hold up now. Hey, time out. Don't know if I want to go and do that. David had a run for it, man. He ran from his life, from the king. His own son rose up against him to take over his kingdom and persuaded more than half of the people of Israel. Took his wives, slept before him in front of Israel. And these were all also some of the judgment of God, which he yielded himself unto. And he had a hope. He just had a hope. I mean, you could say David was sitting there going, well, look, man, if the Lord be still, I have favor in the Lord's sight, then this shall pass. If not, then praise be to God. The Lord is righteous. Amen. The Lord is righteous. But see, look, folks, it's in this process where you come to this nitty-gritty truth about yourself. And it's very, very necessary. So that, man, the more of that garbage you get shed of, the more of this where you come to that self-image of thinking you're all this great thing, you have some great thing to offer. Man, folks, look, we don't have a dang thing to offer. Nothing. Nothing of ourselves, nothing within me do I have to offer, save what God has given to me to offer. And that was His Son, Jesus Christ. So whereof do we really have the boast, folks? Nowhere. Nowhere. And it's coming to that place and that nitty gritty because now, look, man, it's something that you can see, something you can lift up the Lord, something that yet you can get shed of. And it's not really something that you even do. I mean, what does it say? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and what? He shall lift you up. not you lift yourself up. He shall lift you up. We say, create in me a clean heart, because you recognize your heart is dirty. It's filthy. It needs washing. It needs renewing. And there's only one place to get that. That's Jesus. It's like going to those psychiatrists. I don't know. I mean, I went through like 50 different rehabs, I think, when I was a teenager. And I just, you know, kept using dope, like over and over and over again. I really didn't want to go. I really wanted to party. And I didn't care how much of these people they put in front of me. But I knew one thing at the same time. There was nothing else that washed away that guilt. There was nothing else that washed away my sin. There was nothing else that took it all save Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross. That was the only thing that could wash away that guilt. That was the only thing that washed away. Because when I come to the end of that party and run, let me tell you, I was in the dumps. And I seen the damage laid out before me and all the things and how it affected and all these things. I mean, all I could do was say, Lord, forgive me and have mercy. And it really wasn't even me going and doing that. It was really somebody saying, look to the cross. Jesus paid the price for all of that. He paid the price for all of it. And that was the thing that washed it away. And I knew when that, it was like a burden that rolled off. The guilt that just came just tumbling down. And I cried with tears of joy because that was no more there. It was like a hole in my gut I was trying to fill. And I would fill it with woman, drugs, music, anything. And nothing was fulfilling, but that hole yet grew worse and worse and worse. But when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and I received that grace and that gospel of Jesus Christ, that void was filled. And all those things were just washed away. Now, what do I have the glory in that? None. None. Absolutely none. And just this past week of how the Lord yet just dealt with everything so awesomely and how he just dealt with everything beautifully and yet ministered to others throughout was amazing to me. And that was something that, where do I have the glory in that? I don't. I was repenting because of my evil heart. And all I could yet go is say, praise you, Lord. You're good. Praise you, Jesus. How awesome are you? You know, I've been saying this prayer in Ephesians, and one of the things in the Ephesians prayer, how much time? Am I coming to the end of the rope here, Hope? I got about 9 minutes. Okay, thank you. In Ephesians, and I got to find it. And it's a cool prayer. It's been suggested for me to say. But one of the things that it has in here, let's see. Ephesians, well, one in this one, it's a prayer, but I've been saying this prayer. It says, Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I read it as my, and I replace the yous with me, and these kinds of things. And I've been saying this prayer and diligently seeking after to receive of the Lord. Maybe I not read it. But in doing that, doing just that, what starts to happen is to come to recognize the fullness of the Lord, to come to recognize of His glory and His riches, and to come to recognize all these things is quite a place that is very awesome. In this past week of just actually seeing my own selfish heart and seeing how even with that being the case in front of me, it's like I am just like below the bottom. I'm like below the foundation in the sense of just so low to the ground about how I feel about myself in the midst of it, and just recognizing how much of the love of Christ is not within me or in my heart and these kinds of things and coming to that recognizing. But yet in any ways he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that I can ask or think is quite amazing. Now that process and that humbling process of seeing these things as the tribulation has kind of caused me to really look at me in my own heart and where that is. Yet he reigned, and it was a part of that process that's actually necessary. And it just is makes me in awe. I remember Scott, it reminds me of Scott Stevens when he would sit there and say he was awestruck. Even his service to God was vanity. And he was awestruck, yet the Lord yet was still there, and his grace and his mercy was still there and abounded. He was awestruck. Absolutely awestruck. And it's, folks, as you come to that place where you're just awestruck of what the Lord is, even though you see how you are, I mean, his ways are so far higher than my ways. His love is so far higher than my love. Everything about him is just so far higher than me, it's not even fun. And when we compare ourselves to Christ, and I don't even really have to go that far, I can just pick some men of God in the scripture, quite frankly. But when we compare ourselves to Christ, we all fall absolutely, unbelievably, so dramatically short. And that's why we need him. That's why he had to walk it out perfectly in a sinful life and become that perfect sacrifice for you and me. And he didn't die just for you and me, but the sins of the whole world. Now, if we can actually get that down and know that for a truth for ourselves, then it is something then yet we can yet minister unto others and those that are without. It brings hope, but it takes for ourselves to actually get to that place. And I have to say, what does scripture say? Be not high-minded. Talks about in Romans, be not high-minded. And I look around and I can tell you, you're high-minded. You know why I can tell you you're high-minded? Is because when you're confronted with something that testifies against you, how much do y'all jump and scream and justify yourselves against it? Now see, I'm telling you, this is the nitty-gritty truth, folks. And this is really what it takes to get set free. What does it say? The scripture says, it says what? The truth shall set you free. This is what it takes. So there is that self-image. There is that high-minded. There is that high esteem you yet hold in yourself. Because if it wasn't, when you got confronted with an issue or that's within you, you would not get so daggone offended and start justifying yourself. It's the truth. And you know what? It's a process. Because that thing we built up is so freaking high, it's not even funny, and it needs to be put down. I tell you this and speak this because I know this of myself and I go through it. So it's not something that's just for you, folks. We're in the same dang boat. We're in the same boat. But this is what we need to get down to. Love the truth. Says we don't love the truth, what? He'll give us strong delusion. I don't know about you. I don't want strong delusion. Some of us have way too much strong delusion as it is. But the Lord is well able, folks. And that's why he went to the cross. Because he had to become sin for us and to take it away. Because without him, we have no hope. None. But with him, we do have hope. And with him, we can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens. But we got to pass through. We got to know that love of Christ. Talk about being rooted and grounded in his love. That's a process. I was wondering if he was going to answer this prayer. He started to. Praise God. I just did not expect that's the way he was going to start answering it. But praise God it be the case. So it's time to start knocking off the BS, folks. It's time to start getting to the nitty-gritty truth, and let's start getting set free, and let's start lifting him up. Let's start humbling ourselves before him, and let's start getting honest and real with ourselves and go forward in that which is true and honest and knowing what the perfect will of God is. Because people out there need it. They need it. And I'm done.